Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a family encounter a case of bad vibes in their house, or was it something much darker? Possibly a curse. We'll talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, a supporter of the show, you sign up to do that. Ghostpodcast.com is the website. Or if you enjoy Patreon, another great app for premium content, you can sign up there. Patreon.com/realghoststories. All the links there on our website as well. It's only $5 a month to get access to brand new exclusive EPP bonus episodes every single week. You also get access to our advanced episodes, commercial free, released weeks before they go to the public, and our huge archive of material going back many, 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 many years. You get all that $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony Bruschi, that is me. Hi, how are you? That is who you got today. Everyone else is out today. It's been a while since it's just been you, me, and your device. So since it's just us today, let's talk. No, I'm kidding. Things are going okay here. Yesterday on the show, we had talked about, we had a bit of a COVID-esque scare. Me and Jen talked about that with our older daughter. She is, you know, it does not have COVID, as far as we're aware, as of the recording of this on the 11th of November. But stomach bug and, you know, double ear infection. And, you know, the sort of shit that you get this time of year. In normal times. So it's like a flashback to better days. Oh, it's just you're feeling like shit, but it's not the horrible plague illness. So that's what we're dealing with. Jen's in the house today, helping her deal with all that. So you got me and a whole bunch of ghost stories. Again, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, hello, my name is David. I listen to your podcast almost every day, and I always get the spooks when I do, which I love to experience. I'll not mention any names of my family members in the story due to how this story has stuck to us and affected us mentally. I cannot get into much detail due to the confidential names and location involved, but here it goes. I'll tell this story in an old brick house, Staten Island, New York, during 2002, which my sister and I have lived in since we were kids. The old brick house was made during the early 1900s and had past owners who've experienced some alarming events during the house being built. While the house was being sold, my parents told me that the past owners wanted to move to a bigger house in a different state, which sounds normal to anyone that wants to buy a house. But there was a deeper and scarier reason why the past owners wanted to sell the home. When my family packed their things and bought this old house during this time, my family experienced very bad and unlucky vibes during the process of moving, which my sister and I were noticing from what our parents told us. Our parents had a sense of being alarmed and frightful, which we had never seen before in our parents' emotions when we were settling down in our new home. That same night, around 1:35 in the morning, I heard a strange creak coming from the wooden floors as if someone were walking around the bathroom kitchen area. When I peeked from the bedroom door, I saw a strange shadow person standing dead still at the entrance of the bathroom door. I was in a state of shock. I've never experienced something like this in my life. I knew it was a shadow person because I've heard stories from my friends to this day that describe shadow people as the thing I saw at the entrance of the bathroom door. I also checked my parents before checking out the noise and noticed they were both deep asleep. The shadow man stood still with its blood red eyes that looked straight into my soul and at the same time feeling a cold breeze, even though all the doors and windows were locked. And as I was thinking to myself, what the hell can that even be? A shadow person looked like it sprinted towards the bathroom door and left. I went back to bed unable to sleep and having that same image of somewhat tall black figure standing there looking at me. That same morning, I immediately told my parents what I experienced. They told me it's all okay and they didn't feel anything, but I knew personally that that figure was a shadow person I've never seen before. We all sat down for breakfast and we went for a walk and talked to our neighbors. They were very caring and understanding as we started to learn a lot more about the area and its history. One of the neighbors right next door asked me, "Hey, do y'all folks know what happened in that old house?" We answered, "No, we don't. We're hoping he can tell us the history of our house." I can't remember word for word, but it went something like this. "Y'all's new house had the police involved almost every month during the 1900s. It was a suicide case, murder case, people handcuffed, starving, locked up in the boiler room in y'all's basement." Our family was shocked. It explained what I saw last night, since the boiler room was right under our bathroom, and how the shadow figure sprinted trying to escape. The neighbor told us her family, she had been living next to our house since the late 1800s, which is a long time. My family did not tell her what I experienced, but to this day we still own the house and it is vacant. But we're still making plans on what we're going to do with this house. We moved houses, keeping the old brick house empty with the shadow people haunting it. I don't know, maybe doing shadow people things, but on a serious note, maybe the shadow people are trying to escape, but can't since they have kept slaves in the boiler room all their lives. I hope you enjoy this story, and if anything changes in the house when we check it out one day, I'll let you all know. Thank you. Enjoy your day. Well, yeah, I can see there being some negative forces in that house, especially because of the time period in which it was occupied, in terms of the time period in which some viewed behavior of that nature to be acceptable and of the norm. And in some cases, depending on the part of the country you were in, it was the norm. Not in a good way, but when you have a mass group of society feeling one way, that becomes a norm, even though it's horribly wrong. Thankfully, we've moved on from that, but that doesn't change the scars of the past. When something or a group of people are told the same thing over and over and over, and they're led to that direction with fear, I think you're more likely to have lingering elements of them, whether they're consciously there or whether the fear that they were living in day in and day out has implanted itself into that environment. And then that's a whole other path to go down, because it's something where we've talked about this on this show and on the Grave Talks of haunting activities or poltergeist type activities and things of that nature almost being caused by the living, not necessarily the dead, not necessarily something from another place or time, but the energy of the living affecting the environment? How does it happen? Why does it happen? I don't know the answer, but it appears there's a lot of accounts of that very phenomena happening, not only through history, but I would say I've seen an increase in people's stories that they share with us running along those lines in the last 300 so days, which is very, very interesting. Can our fear, can our anxieties, though well justified, manifest themselves into our physical world? I mean, normal, I guess, you know, quote unquote, normal thinking would tell you, oh, that's, you know, that's not possible or things like that. But I don't know. I think that sometimes our own thinking, right or wrong, whatever it may be, maybe the utter confusion and the utter frustration that we feel, you know, it can haunt us, and it can haunt those around us even when we're not dead. I think there's a lot of power that we hold when we're alive that we're unaware of, that we can unconsciously put out there that affects others in not so great ways. Is that part of what happened in this house? The anxiety, the fear, knowing what happened there, and then that gets drawn out when similar emotions are being felt by the living. Fear, shame, sadness, what have you, of knowing this environment, these walls that you are sitting behind once held the souls of people who really were okay with what is considered by any sane individual to be deplorable activity. I don't know. Thank you for sharing your story, though. Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Busuu. Teaches 12 of the world's most popular languages, from Spanish, French, English, Italian, German, Japanese, and many others. Plus, Busuu lets you practice your new skills immediately with native speakers of the language you're learning. How cool is that? You get feedback right there, which I find to be pretty amazing, to actually get the feedback. You're not just kind of guessing, like, I think I'm doing this right. No, you're actually getting feedback on your writing and speaking skills. And you can even help people learn English, too. Busuu is just, it's awesome. B-U-S-U-U is how it's spelled. B-U-S-U-U. It comes with loads of smart features like a study plan to help keep you motivated and organized, and vocabulary and grammar training tools built by data scientists to make sure that you remember what you learned. You can start by learning for free or to choose to get a premium plan to unlock more fantastic features. Start learning today with Busuu by visiting busuu.com. That's B-U-S-U-U.com, or search Busuu on the iOS App Store or Google Play. To upgrade your learning with 30% off Busuu Premium, use code GHOST. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
I was born on my mom's 18th birthday. We like to say that we grew up together. So here's how the beginning of my life went. My biological father had taken off as soon as he knew that she was pregnant and not going to abort the pregnancy. So she was on her own, 17 years old, and terrified to tell her family. So she moved out, she quit school, she got a job and an apartment, and waited for my arrival. She was excited. When I was born and little, it was very difficult for her. The family didn't help much, and she was afraid to ask for help because they didn't really want to help. And so she was all by herself, 18 years old, with an infant. She did the best she could, but eventually, sometime like in my second year, maybe I was 1.5 or so, she had been dating this guy since I was 2 months old or so. And he was fun with her, and she enjoyed herself with him. So She figured it was gonna be lasting. She figured maybe this is a way to gain some stability for her daughter and herself. And his parents owned a farm, a fruit farm, orchards. And so at some point, Mom ran out of money. She just couldn't do it all by herself. And she asked the people who had become my step-grandparents if it were possible for her to move into the old house. The old house sat next to their house, my grandparents' house. And it was the house in which my grandfather had been raised. My grandfather had several sisters, I think seven. And they were raised mostly by their dad because their mom had passed away due to cancer in her 30s. The house had been closed since my grandfather's father had died, over 20 years. It was full of antique furniture and dust. Nobody had used it. Nobody had been in it. And my mom asked if she and I could move into that house. And my grandparents were hesitant because it was old and gross and dusty and full of junk. And my mom said, that's okay. We just need a room or two. And so they agreed, and Mom cleaned out a room, and we moved in. And soon she got two rooms cleaned out and got a bathroom working, and that's where we started living. Eventually, several months later, my stepfather, he wasn't my stepfather yet, but he would later become that, my stepfather moved in with us. So he was then living in his grandfather's house on his grandfather's farm. So we lived there happily, and every night after I went to bed, my mom would check on me, and then they would go to bed, and then someone else would check on me. She was a woman that I only saw at night when she was checking on me, and she would come in her nightgown, walk over to the edge of my bed, and stand there and look down at me with not a big smile, but like a nice small smile, like a calm smile that showed me she was at ease and she was happy. And so she would look at me, and I never remembered her leaving. I guess I just didn't pay that close attention. And at about 4 or 5 years old, I realized, wait, this woman doesn't fit into any other category of people that I know. So I told my mom about her. I remember laying on my mom's bed. My mom was doing some kind of chore. And I remember telling her about this woman who'd come into my room and check on me. And she told me, no, honey, it's me. I come and check on you every night. And I said, I know you come and check on me every night, but this other lady comes and checks on me every night too. And my mom tried to convince me that who I was seeing was her. And I told her, no, you don't have that nightgown. And your hair is not like hers. Her hair is short and curly, and yours is long and straight and dark, and hers is lighter. And I said, your nose is different. And no, she has a different face, Mom. It's not you. And my mom insisted that it was her. So I knew, okay, Mom doesn't believe me that this lady comes and checks on me. Fine. After that day of telling my mom that there's this woman in my life who checks on me every night, and after my mom denied her existence to me, I never actually saw her again. But she was still there. I could feel her. And the feeling was like, it was an electrical feeling, and combined with the feeling of being watched, but not in a way that I was uncomfortable. I was perfectly comfortable. I just knew when she was there and when she wasn't there. And as I got older, I figured out that this must be a ghost. And I didn't think of it as something scary because this woman was never scary. And since I had seen her as long as I could remember, it seemed there was no reason to be alarmed. So maybe this is a nice ghost. So that's where I categorized her in my head, and I never really talked about her with anyone ever again. Well, actually, sometimes I'd tell my friends, and I don't know if they believed me or not. I do know that a lot of kids used to think my house was haunted because it was old and kind of run down. And I remember smiling to myself and thinking, yeah, actually it is, but it's not scary like you think. Anyways, so I never saw her again, but I could feel her. And there were often times where she would play with or mess with, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but the electrical things would sometimes go strange. Mostly the stereo, when I would have music playing, on this old 1970s stereo, it was really heavy duty, sort of like metallic everything. And the dial, you could just feel the heaviness of the dial when you changed the station. So I would have it up in the FM stations, up around 199, those numbers, whatever. And I'd be doing things, and anytime I was away from it, sometimes it would just all of a sudden flip through all the channels down to 88 or whatever the lowest number was and stay there. And it would be like, you know, fuzz. And so I'd go back in and sometimes talk to her and say, yeah, very funny. Anyways, I'm going to listen anyways. And I'd put it back on my music, and a while later it might happen again or it might not happen again the same day. But she always made her presence known. I could always feel when she was around. She wasn't around all the time, but she was around often, like she lived there. And so fast forward until I'm 15. And at that point, my mom and stepdad had divorced, and he had remarried to a woman I got very close to. So at one point, I was living in the house again. With my former stepdad and his new wife. And there was a day I broke up with a boyfriend. I was 15 years old, and I had broken it off with him, and I was really upset. I did the dumping, but I was still sad. It just wasn't working out, and so I broke it off. And he was really upset, and he kept calling and calling and calling, and it just was a mess. And so I was crying, and I went to my room. And at this time, my room was the room above the room that I lived in when I was little. And at some point, I stopped crying, and I just was kind of like laying there like a zombie on my bed, just not wanting to face the world. And in this old creaky house, I heard someone enter the room and walk across the floor. Not that I heard footsteps, but I heard the creaking of the floorboards, because that's what this house was like. And so the creaking of the floorboards, and then I felt someone sit down on the edge of my bed. And I very strongly felt like someone was in the room with me, and I didn't know who it was, but nobody said anything. And after several minutes of no one saying anything, I turned my head over to look and see who it was. And it was no one. No one was sitting there on my bed, even though I still felt a presence. And even though I know what I felt and I heard, there was no one there. And so then I realized, oh, it's her. She's here because I'm upset. So she came to sit with me. And that was kind of I don't know how to describe it. It was comforting. It felt like a family member was sitting with me and not judging me or asking me prying questions, just sitting with me because I was sad. It was a really good experience. Well, fast forward about another year when I was about 16, and I was next door with my grandma. Granted, my parents weren't married anymore, but anyone from a broken family will probably recognize that sometimes you keep family even if there's divorces. So I kept my grandparents, that's for sure. And so I was helping grandma clean out her house. Her house was next door to the house I grew up in. And so we were cleaning out a closet that was up in her attic. Her attic, half of it was like anyone's attic. And the other half was the bedroom that my stepdad had grown up in. And so it was the closet in that room we were cleaning out. Grandma just wanted to go through the things, find what was in there, put things away, those kinds of things. And when we got to the back of the closet, there was a photograph in a large frame. You know, the old-fashioned, really intricate wooden frame, really thick, kind of gaudy-looking frame, about 3.5 or 4 feet high, with a giant black-and-white photograph in it. And that photograph was of a couple on their wedding day. And that woman was the woman I always saw when I was a kid. And so my heart sped up, my palms got sweaty. I had this strange physiological reaction to seeing her face again. And I asked Grandma, who is that woman? And Grandma said, that's your grandfather's mom, Stella. She died in the house you grew up in. She died in the birth and death room, right next to the room you were in when you were little. And it all kind of came together for me. So my step-grandfather's mother, who had died of cancer in her 30s, was just looking after her own. And blood relatives or not, I was one of the grandbabies, and she was checking on one of the grandbabies. It was quite the experience. Once I had that experience, I knew that ghosts existed, that sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't. I understood what it felt like when her presence was there. And so when I felt that similar electrical charged feeling in other contexts, I realized I was picking up on, I guess, a bodiless soul. There's been many other instances throughout my life where I've had interactions, seen things, heard things, felt things, but I've never seen a full-bodied apparition again since that time when I was 4 or 5 years old and I revealed to my mother who I saw.
I think that right there says a lot. It doesn't matter about blood relatives. It doesn't matter about so many things. If someone is there and they want to check on you, they want to be supportive, they will be there. And sometimes, you know, just as in life, you have loved ones that come into your world that are not blood relatives, but can be just as close, if not closer. Even in death, that bond still very much exists. I think she put it very, very well. I like the birth and death room part. That I never see that in real estate listings. You never see like a 3-bedroom, 4-bath house with a birth and death room. It's like, oh, great. I've been looking for a birth and death room. Thank you very much. I'm not quite sure which I'm going to use it for more. And then the realtor's like, what do you mean use it for more? You know, birth or death. I'm not quite sure. That can make for an awkward moment or two with a real estate agent. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
I moved in an old farmhouse in Falkville, Alabama. I heard that behind there used to be a place called the Freaky Place. There was a man, he was a slave owner. His name was Mr. Freaky. And to this day, the barn was still kind of standing. Well, we had heard all about it, and I lived in that farmhouse. So one night, we decided to walk down there. Well, me, one of my friends, and her brother, we walked down there. And as we walked down the trail, it just kind of got a weird feeling. And as we get there, she just freezes up and just like starts falling on the ground and shaking. And the whole time I'm trying to get her up and she won't get up. So finally I pick her up and we just take off, and you could feel someone behind you as if they was chasing you. Well, before this, my daughter, who was like 7 years old at the time, had spent the night with me at the farmhouse. And she had came to my bedroom crying, saying that she had seen an old man with a top hat staring at my windows. Well, that night, when she had fell down and started rolling back in her head, and when we finally got her to, I asked her what was going on. And she said it felt like some old man with a top hat had carried her in the top of that barn. And there was all kind of slave girls in there, and he was trying to mess with her and do bad things with her. Well, her son had came and stayed with us after this, and he was having night terrors. And he would start crying in the middle of the night. And finally, one night, we asked him what was wrong, and he said there was a man with a top hat who kept trying to take me away. So this place in Fauntville, Alabama, is a weird place. I ended up moving out because I would go in to get a shower, and when I would go get a shower, my laundry room was on my back porch. When I would go to the back porch and come back in, all of my cabinet doors would be open. Well, I would think nothing of it. I would shut them all back, and I would go get in the shower. When I got out of the shower, they would all be open again. And we have pictures where we just went and took in the dark, and you can see like just random faces in this house and stuff. And some of them, a man with a top hat. It was a very weird experience. I ended up moving, and I will never go back to this place again.
And understandably so, why you would never go back to that place ever again. So what we were talking about earlier, the energy, the residual portion of what the living once conceived of doing or did. What is that? Is that when it's repeated for the living? Is that something where it's consciously happening, or is the trauma of those events implanted somewhere and it just continues to fester and to replay over and over and over again? I think that's the question. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP as we call it. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to bonus episodes every single week, advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook, and so much more. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.